In writing radio comedy, the most important thing is to hear in your head the voices of the people you're writing for. Kenneth Horne's voice was unique. From his early broadcasting days as a quizmaster in a wartime forces show, to the mythical RAF station in Much Banning in the Marsh, which he co-wrote and starred in with Richard Murdoch, as chairman of 20 Questions and numerous other radio and TV performances, this urbane, cultured voice with its hint of mischief only partly suppressed was known to millions. In Round the Horn, he added an amused, chuckling sense of the ridiculous, which, as you will hear, was the springboard off which the rest of the cast dived into the script. Kenneth Horne was never a straight man, but always the master of the revels, and, you suspected, the instigator. I honestly think that in Round the Horn, Kenneth Horne reached the peak of his career. It certainly was the climax of his career because in February 1969 he departed this life and left the rest of us the poorer for his passing. Part of his legacy were these recordings which summon up his spirit and his amazing broadcasting skill. It's a skill that is easy to overlook. It's so subtle and understated. It was comparatively easy for the talented cast to romp through the scripts with hardly a word being changed, but it was Kenneth Horne's firm guiding hand that steered the good ship Round the Horn through the turbulent waters of a comedy series, a comedy series that, it turned out, was to endure for over 34 years and sound fresh and topical long after most other comedies of that period have faded from the mind. Of course, it was not only Kenneth Horne who made Round the Horn a success, but a superb cast, a producer second to none, and an atmosphere of gaiety which today one can only wonder at. If, for you, the cast of Round the Horn are old friends, I'm sure you'll welcome them into your life again. If this is your first visit into the world of Round the Horn, I'm sure that you'll be as amazed and delighted as the audiences were back in 1965 when this edition first hit the air.
Now, for the young in heart and weak in the head, it's Round the Horn. Story so far. Swaggering, gold-toothed buccaneer Betty Marsden. He of the barrel chest and eyes like bungholes. Sat idly tying a granny knot in his granny. Played by sweet lavender-smelling Bill Pertwee. Meanwhile on the poop deck, leggy, voluptuous Bolivian heiress Kenneth Williams. Struggled for control of the wheel with mad bosun, black Hugh Paddock, scourge of the Spanish Main, and none too popular in Hounslow. Where in an ivy-covered old cottage sat his ivy-covered old mum, wringing her hands through the mangle and crooning to herself over and over again the words...
My name's Kenneth Horne.
Hello and welcome to Round the Horn. That was Douglas Smith, who police believe can help them with their inquiries. He appears by permission of the YMCA. Tel Aviv. Now the answers to last week's quiz. Question one, the collective nouns. Well, of course, it's a pride of lions, a covey of baked beans, and a herd of Edwin Braden. Now, most of you got a pride of lions, and a few of you had a covey of baked beans, but none of you had heard of Edwin Braden.
I have, great airy fool.
Well, now, the answer to question two, the what do you do with it question. Well, of course, the answer is you stuff it. With either kapok or feathers. And not with sage and onion. Now, I would have accepted down, but on no account up. Now we come to the section of the show where we invite minorities to air their views. This week we are honored by a return state visit of the man who is self-appointed head of an autonomous kingdom within Great Britain. Mr.
Grant Fattock. King Grant Fattock of Pease Mouldier.
Yes.
Pease Mouldier.
Which I believe consists of railway sidings Hoxton and up as far as Buttermold Street as the pub.
That's right. That is my kingdom, yes. The Holy Pease Mouldian Empire.
Holy?
Holy, yes, yes. You see, the empire is wholly my own idea. You see, I have the voices. They speak to me, you know. They tell me things. Go forth, Grunt Futtock. Go forth, Grunt Futtock, my child, they said. Go forth, they did. They said, go forth and claim thy rightful inheritance. And they added, P.S., my child, and while you're out, get us an ounce of shag.
Like Joan of Arc?
Yes, Joan. No, no, they prefer old Hobson's curly cut. So I did gird up my loins and go forth up the High Street, proclaiming myself as a king.
And how did people respond to this?
Very gratifying, considering one woman gave me a shilling.
Oh. And now you claim you're king?
Yes, I even issue my own coinage.
Real?
Yes, here, look, this is a Peasmoldian penny piece. Notice my likeness on the front. See what it says?
Yeah.
Grunt Futticus Rexus Pisus Omnind Imp DD. It's Latin, you know.
I see.
It's Latin.
Yes, and translated, that means Grunt Futter, King of all Peas, Moldier. Now, Ind Imp. Emperor of India?
Yes, that's the pub in Peas. Up on Old Street.
And what's the DD for?
Drunken disorder. The lady, see that lady?
Yes.
That lady depicted at my side is Royal Highness, my gracious good lady wife, Queen of all Peasmoldia. She's here with me. I'll summon her worshipful majesty to come forth. Oi, Kippathy!
What?
Come here. Stop scratching yourself. Come over here. Meet Mr. Orne.
Hello, cheeky face.
I told you not to say that when you meet strangers. Say what I taught you, Buttercup.
We are graciously pleased to grant you an audience.
You may address her now. She's given you leave. We'll waive the kissing of her hand, seeing as how grubby it is.
Well, quite now, tell me, King...
Grunt Futtock. Grunt Futtock. It's hyphenated, double-barreled, you see. My grandfather was a grunt from the Rotherhithe Grunts, and he married an Oxton Futtock. Uniting two great houses in one.
Yes, now, very interesting indeed.
It is,
isn't it? Yes. Now, before you go,
yes,
which I hope is any moment now, would you like to broadcast a message to your loyal subjects?
No, because we are all assembled here, to wit, the wife and me. Anyway, we must away now, because royal duties are pressing. Besides, the royal horse and cart are parked on a meter.
Oh,
you
remember what
happened,
see? I watch
put,
it.
Put your cap on. We're going.
And what a majestic couple they make. Oh, well, I suppose they're part of life's rich tapestry. The moth-eaten part. Now, Smith, stop picking crumbs out of Edwin Braden's moustache and introduce the next item.
Certainly, sir. And now, Kenneth Horne, Master Spy. This week, from Russia with love. And kind regards to Auntie Mabel, the twins, and all at number three.
It all began in the luxuriously appointed stateroom of my twin-screw, diesel-driven, private rubber duck moored in Cannes Harbour. I was relaxing after a case. Suddenly the phone rang. And as I answered it, my face became an impassive mask cut off the back of a cereal packet. Hello, Yogi Bear speaking.
You can drop the disguise, Horn. This is Haverstrap here. I've got brown Horrocks on my extension.
Well, that's your problem.
No, Colonel Brown Horrocks, intelligence. He wants to speak to you.
Oh, Horn?
Yes, sir?
Look, Horn, something nasty's come up. I've had the PM on my neck all morning.
Well, put a poultice on it, it'll soon go down.
Get back to London immediately. There's a music link leaving in 2 seconds. Be on it.
Blast, missed it. I'll have to charter a private sound effect.
Any sign of Horn, Miss Golightly?
It's hard to see from here.
Well, get off my lap and look out of the window.
Oh, there's a pair of coats. Churchill's drawing up. Someone's getting off. Yes, sir, yes. It's Horn.
Ah, Horn.
Ah, Brown Horrocks.
Ah. You must be worn out after your journey. Care for a spot of lunch?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. There's one on my lapel. Scrape it off. Yes, enough of that and out of business. Since you've been away, there's been an extraordinary outbreak of tooth.
Truth?
Truth, yes. All sorts of people in all walks of life have suddenly started telling the truth. If it spreads any further, it could mean the end of the British way of life. I want you to listen to this. It's a recording taken from the radio. A report of a society wedding by a well-known commentator.
I am standing here in the freezing cold outside St. Bottles, Westminster, with an unctuous grin on my face, preparing to give you snobs at home details of yet another dreary society wedding between Daphne, the eldest daughter of the Duke of Stilkley, and the Honourable Alistair Twick, the son, he says, of that... senile old pantaloon, the Earl of McWhirter. And here they come now, the spotty, fat bride. Yes, her face suffused with acne, clinging desperately to the arm of old Blubberlips, the chinless wonder. What an array of glittering nobodies are here today. Yes, what a waste of everybody's time. Still, if I do it often enough, I might cop for a knighthood.
Well, this really is alarming. What do you think is causing it?
We don't know, but it's affecting all sorts of people. Now, here's a transcript of a recent trial at the Old Bailey. The prisoner pleaded guilty to a charge of disorderly behavior in a public place, but he was dismissed because the judge said, and I quote, "Don't worry, mate. I've often done the same thing myself, only, of course, being a judge, nobody dared nick me for it."
Well, what do you make of it, Brown Horrocks?
Well, obviously somebody's been getting at these people, brainwashing them, perhaps, or giving them a truth serum. The only link between all the victims is that they've all been patients at the same private rest home in Geneva. It's an establishment run by Dr. Chu N. Ginsburg. Now, we want you to get out to Geneva, Horn, and stop him.
Okay, Smith.
Yes, sir.
Announce me to Geneva.
Sir. Some hours later, at the private nursing home of Dr. Chu N. Ginsburg in Geneva.
Thank you, Smith. Nicely announced. I knocked on the huge front door. It opened, and standing there was the doctor's receptionist. Was this the lovely and desirable Ramona, the sultry temptress who had lured so many men to their doom in her arms? As if in answer to my unspoken thought, she said...
Yes, I am the lovely and desirable Ramona, the sultry temptress who has lured so many men to their doom in my arms many, many times. Many, many times.
Oh, well, one more can't hurt. We clung together passionately. Mm. My mouth searched for hers and found it exactly where I'd suspected it would be. Under her nose. She looked at me hungrily. I looked at her hungrily. Then she spoke, her voice little more than a hoarse whisper.
Would you like some sardines on toast?
Sardines on... Later, well, when we break for tea. No, Smith!
Yes, sir.
You know what's expected of you.
Yes, sir. 3 days later.
3 days?
Three days later, Master Spy Horn shambled nimbly up the stairs to Dr. Chu N. Ginsburg's study.
Come in.
Ah, Chu N. Ginsburg, we meet at last.
Yes, I've been hanging about here for 15 pages. What blings you here, Horn?
I've tumbled your little caper.
Yes, I know. I heard the pair of you locking about downstairs. Most delightful lady. Now, Mr. Horn, would you care for some light refreshment? Say, a dlugged drink?
It would be lewd to refuse.
I will summon my concubine. Let us blossom. Ah, let us blossom.
Yes, Gov.
Carries her age well, doesn't she? Most gifted of all my geishas. Skilled at the arts of provocative dancing. Would you care to see her perform sensual song and dance, telling age-old story of the love of sun god for Chinese maidens?
Well, thank you.
Let us blossom.
Yes, Gov.
After two. A one, a two.
Oh, okey-cokey-cokey. knees bend, rah-rah-rah.
There, does that not turn your blood to fire?
No.
No? Strange. Never affects me either.
Perhaps a gent would care to sample one of my many other delights.
I'd sooner have the drug drink, I think.
Suit yourself.
Very well. Bring us two goblets of the delicate sake of the Cantonese region, as drunk by generations of my honorable ancestors. Let it be of a fragrant bouquet, so that as we sip, we may inhale the perfume of a thousand flowers. And while you're at it, bring us a couple of pork pies.
Yes, so mighty Mandarin. I hasten to do your bidding, cock.
Thank you, precious. Mr. Horn, tell me, what blings you here?
I've come to thwart your evil plan to inject everybody with your truth serum. You're mad, Doctor.
Do not call me mad.
You're mad.
I'm not mad. I'm mad. Irritable first thing in the morning, but not mad.
Here's your 2 pints of sake. The drug's in the one on the left. Oh, and here's your pies.
Thank you, darling. So, Mr. Hahn, you wish to stop me? Well, life, Mr. Hahn, is like a game of chess. You understand the meaning of the term stalemate?
Yes.
Well, do not eat pies, stalemate. You are not drinking your drugged drink. What's the matter? Is something wrong with it?
No. Cheers.
Bottoms up, Mr. Hahn.
Little did he know that I'd switched the glasses. He drank deeply, and then his face changed color. He clutched at his throat. And then with a last effort, he pulled himself up to his full height. 2'3". And towered over me. He was standing on the wardrobe. His face convulsed in anger.
You may have beaten me this time, but you haven't heard the last of Dr. Chu N. Ginsberg, M.A. Failed. Goodbye.
And with that, he trod on a laugh, which gave way under his feet, and he plunged headfirst into the lake. And me? Well, my job was done, but I still had some unfinished business to attend to. I went downstairs to where Ramona was awaiting me. She looked at me provocatively, her mouth a scarlet wound.
Oh, you've come back. I knew you would.
Yes, and you know what I want. My sardines on toast. And now here are the Fraser Hayes Hall.
Your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself, you belong to me. Take an apple every day, go to bed by 3. Take good care of yourself, you belong to me. Be careful crossing streets, woo-hoo. Don't eat sweets, woo-hoo. Got up meat, woo-hoo. You'll get a pain and ruin your tum-tum. Buy an apple, eat an apple every day.
Go to bed by 3.
Take good care of yourself, you belong to me.
Be careful crossing streets.
Ooh-hoo.
Don't eat sweets.
Ooh-hoo. You gotta cut out meat. You'll get a pain and ruin your tum-tum. You'll go out with fancy girls when you're on the spree. Take good care of yourself, you belong to me.
And now, trends.
First trends in the theatre. The nostalgia for the 30s continues. Soon to open in London's West End is yet another Noel Coward revival, Blithe Laughter, starring Celia Backstroke and Albert Runt. Here is an excerpt from the play.
Excited, Charles.
Yes, Fiona. Intoxicatedly, flutteringly, half-thunkingly, passionately excited. And yet, somehow, calm. And you, Fiona?
Yes, I'm calm too. Resignedly, tranquilly, stoically, placidly calm. And yet, somehow, excited.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know. These poignant, bittersweet moments of shared happiness mean more to me than life itself. Who was it said, stolen fruit tastes the sweetest?
It was you just now.
Ah, that's where I heard it.
Oh, Fiona, how I adore these mad, feverish, turbulent, tempestuous moments of tremulous, simmering, volcanic, ungovernable madcap, frenzied, delirious, euphoric bliss. You're so provocatively tantalizing, so piquantly thrilling, so... Oh, but I can't find the words.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know. But I must go now, Fiona. I have my duty to do.
Oh, Charles. Charles, my darling. You look so splendid in your uniform. Yes, please. Please. Go now before my husband comes back. He would never understand.
And shall I see you again?
Tomorrow morning at the same time. And I'll have 2 extra pints, milkman, and some cottage cheese.
Well, I don't know about you, but personally I found that unutterably, inexpressibly, enchantingly, heart-flutteringly nauseating. Next, trends in music. Folk singers are still in, and none more so than our next guest, Rambling Sid Rumper.
Good evening. I'm so sorry you was here last. I've been a rambling and a roving and a making a nuisance of myself all over the country. You're picking up her folk songs, among other things. Vagabonding and a gypsying hither and thither. The starry sky, my ceiling, my only companion, my faithful guitar, and a bird called Charmian I picked up in a coffee bar. A doodle now rang me down. Cheer up, leck-a-day, etc.
And what are you going to sing for us today?
This is an old gypsy clothes peg peddler's lament, which is sung by an old gypsy clothes peg peddler wherever he's lamenting. It tells the story of a handsome young gypsy who goes to the store trying for to sell his pegs. Yes. And he says, "Ah, missus, will you buy my pegs, oh?" To which she replies, "No, I will not buy of your pegs, oh. Clear off out of it or I'll set a dog on you." To which he replies, "Oh, all right then." And he goes. And then he sings this lament. "Oh, Sibyl, my Rudy, oh, Rooney, oh, ho. Oh, Sibyl, my Rudy, oh, day. Oh, who will treadle my thunder jug when I am far away? Hippity hoppity lalfully and a mickle-day, mickle-day rumble, oh, oh."
Yes, thank you, Rambling Sid Rumper. Well, very moving indeed, very moving. And on behalf of all the listeners, I'd just like to say a heartfelt good riddance. Now, trends in modern living. Well, more and more fashionable people are flocking to unfashionable areas to live. Well, I don't like to feel I'm out of the swim, so when I saw an advertisement in one of the Sunday papers which read, thinking of making a move, why not consult Boner Homes estate agents, I went along to their place in Chelsea. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sam.
We're Boner Homes. Actually, we're filling in here between acting engagements on the telly.
Yes.
We just finished one together, you know. It was a soap commercial where I'm dancing with this girl in yards of net. You know, not me, her. Anyway, she's acting a bit funny towards me, and I can't understand why. So then Julian comes over and whispers something in my ear hole, and then I have a bath.
Took his bath lovely, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, it's lovely, wasn't it?
Now, what can we do for you?
Well, I'm looking for a small townhouse somewhere in Islington, I thought.
Oh, you don't want Islington, do we, Sam?
No! Islington, definitely not. Mm. Oh, no, it's been tarted up out of all recognition. But if you're looking for something really unspot, we've got some boner slums in Brixton. Now, Brixton is still unspot, isn't it, Jewel? Isn't it right, Jewel?
Oh, fab.
Fab.
I've got a bonus slum property. Just come in. Two up, two down, one out the back. Now, that is really very nice.
It's nice. No.
How much?
15,000.
Too dear.
Well, what was you thinking of paying then?
Well, I thought about 10,000.
10,000? Did you hear that, sir? Did you hear that?
Did I hear it? Say it again. I like a good laugh.
You won't get nothing for 10,000 unless you go further out. Got a nice conversion on the A1 near Stevenage. Now, that stands right on the main road. That's nice, isn't it?
Oh, fantabulous! And it's detached as well. We can recommend that highly. All on the one level. Well, you don't want to go climbing stairs at your age, do you?
I can't be doing with that.
And it's very you.
Yes, it's very cheap, too. It's only 8,900. And you only have to share part of the year. But they're very nice people. You'll like them very much. They're two old Irishmen. But they'll only be there during the winter when they're gravelling.
Gravelling?
Yes.
What sort of a place is it then?
Oh, didn't we tell you? It's a workman's hut.
Well, naturally, I refused it. They did, in the end, fix me up with what I wanted, a townhouse. Trouble is, the town is Dumfries. Well, how shall I describe it? It's a sort of duplex, open-plan, converted slaughterhouse. Still, it's near the station, I suppose. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman, and the show is produced by John Simmons.